Today on Real Radio.
As we start through this journey in chapter 14, you're going to be discovering what your gift or gifts are. If today you say, well, I'm a Christian, okay, great. Then listen, next question. If you're a Christian, what gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit are operational in your life?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, the apostle used the phrase building up a lot in his writings, referring to the building up of God's people. Well, the first five verses of 1 Corinthians 14 are no exception at all. In fact, Paul mentions certain spiritual gifts and how these gifts are used to build up either individual believers or the church as a whole. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a series called Bodybuilding in the Church of God.
So how do we know Jesus made it to heaven when he ascended? The answer is found in a collection of verses. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Write it down. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, holy convocation, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. That was a divine manifestation of this thing that looked like fire, flames, tongues, just over their heads. And it appeared as divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon or over each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Notice, the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. That means the Holy Spirit was in control. There's no evidence here that people were out of control. There's no evidence here that people's eyes rolled in the back of their head and their tongues began to whip one another and go crazy. No one's falling down. No one's freaking out. The Holy Spirit, who does all things in order, descends in manifestation of these tongues of fire upon the disciples' heads, and they begin to speak with other tongues. This other tongues, as we shall see today, it was here words of known languages. Stop right there for a second. The question is, how do we know Jesus made it back to heaven once he ascended? Mark this. Regarding the day of Pentecost, it says there in Acts, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. The word means on the 50th day of the 50 days. The word Pentecost means 50 days. 50 days. You ask another question. 50 days from what? Before we answer the question, 50 days after the day of first fruits in the Old Testament, based upon Leviticus 23, go ahead and mark it down. Leviticus 23, verse 15, says this, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering before the Lord, verse 21, and you shall proclaim on the same day, that's a specific day, that it is a holy convocation. This is awesome. I'm sorry, I'm getting excited about it because I've been studying this week. Way back in Leviticus, way back with the children of Israel, God told Moses, 50 days after the first fruit offering, 50 days, the day of first fruits, it's a day. It's offered before the Lord. It's a grain offering before God. You would present this bread before the Lord. 50 days after that day, you would come out to another day, and on that day would be the day of Pentecost. When we think Pentecost, you and I think New Testament stuff. It's an Old Testament thing. God says to the nation of Israel, do this, and 50 days later, you can expect the other. Are you with me? Now watch this, everybody. According to Jewish tradition, and that's not in the Bible, according to the rabbis of old, predating the coming of Christ, This is what was taught, that when the giving of the law took place on Mount Sinai, Israel saw that moment as the birth of the nation of Israel in that day. When God gave Moses the law and Moses gave the law to Israel, the Jews viewed that was the day of their national identity. The same rabbinical traditions teach this, that when the law was given on that day, quote, tongues of fire appeared and recited the law in the languages of all the earth before the children of Israel. Now, we cannot prove that. That's recorded in rabbinical teachings. What's interesting to me is on the day of Pentecost that you and I are studying, Jesus and his disciples would have known what I just read you a moment ago. Is everybody with me? It doesn't matter if it's in the Bible or not. It was a rabbinical teaching that what is interesting, what we do know for a fact, is that on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, tongues of fire descended, and the children of Israel there in that room began to speak with other tongues, meaning other national languages. That's a fact. What's interesting is the New Testament fact seems to confirm the rabbinical tradition. You say, what are you getting so excited about? Because if the Jews are correct in saying that on the day of Pentecost, when being the day that Moses received the law from God at Sinai, the nation was born in the day, can someone tell me the birthday of the church? Very good, the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is the day that the church was born. My conservative theological friends would say, yes, and that's when the gifts of the Holy Spirit were given, but now some of them are in operation, and we'll tell you which ones they are, and you have no footing, you have no stance for that, except your denominational persuasion. On the other side, it would be the camp that would say, oh yeah, no, they're all in operation, and there's even more in operation, and you have no biblical footing for that either. God gave the gifts of the Holy Spirit to strengthen the church, to body build the church of God up. And listen, we're 2,000 years later from the day of Pentecost. And in my opinion, the church needs more power and more strength, more righteousness, more holiness, more godliness than ever before. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. We are done with spectator Christianity. We are done with just being religious. We want to see the power of God move in our lives, but we don't want to swing from the chandeliers or run around screaming and barking. What does that do? But nothing. We want to see God manifest his power through us as he desires. It will all be biblical, and it will, listen, it will strengthen the church, and it will cause the world to beat down our doors to get inside or to find out how they can know God also. We need to get back to our witness, church. We need to get back to being the thing where Jesus said it's like a city set on a hill or a torch that is lit and put on a lampstand. We need to burn again for God. And listen, I agree with A.W. Tozer. There's nothing wrong with knowing all of your Bible and having excellent theology and experiencing God. We are in a grave place where it's only experience without the Word of God, or it's only the Word of God without experience. I'm a little sick and tired of self-proclaimed theologians condemning every bit of someone getting excited about Jesus. They condemned A.W. Tozer in his day. They probably condemned Peter in his day. Peter got excited about the things of God. And maybe you're saying, well, Jack, for a sore throat or whatever you've got, you're sure excited about God. For this one reason, you have no idea the stuff that he has forgiven me of in my life. And for that, I am very grateful. And I just can't whisper the things that and the difference that he's made in my life. It ain't gonna happen. And so, this power, this presence, and the provision of God's Spirit has been promised to us. Fundamentally necessary is Romans 8, 13 and 14. The Bible says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Boy, isn't that true? You're gonna live after, listen. If you're not a Christian in here, listen to this. The Bible says, this is a spiritual law. If you live according to your fleshly desires, you're going to die. And the word is not die and go to heaven. You're going to die and go to hell. It's not good. Your body is screaming for things that will destroy your life in the end. But if you, by the Spirit of God, if you live by the Spirit of God, you'll put to death the deeds of the body. Listen, we're all tempted, believer and non-believers tempted. It's only the Christian that has the power to put the temptation back. We've got the fire hose of God, as it were, to open up on that temptation and blow it up and blow it down. You say, well, Pastor, I love Jesus, but I got tempted and I got drunk, crashed my car, ran over somebody. No, listen, temptations come to everybody. You fall because you entertain the temptation. The Bible says when it comes, attack it. And that's by the power of the Spirit of God. If something's pressuring you, say, dear God in heaven, be my strength against that thing. The greatest part of victory is realizing I can't beat this. So Lord, will you beat this for me? Will you kill this for me? That's a great place of power. Life in the Spirit is the Christian life. And that's very important to understand. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. We're almost done with the introduction. Galatians 5, 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's 1 Corinthians 13. That's 1 Corinthians 13. We just studied that. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 15, Galatians 5, 15. Look at that on the screen. This is why a lot of Christians can't even get out of bed. They can't even open their mouth for God. They can't even walk in victory. They're busy gossiping or hurting one another, or consuming one another, devouring and biting one another in sin. You may be going to heaven, but man, you're earthbound. And he says, listen, you'll either be walking in the power of God's word by loving one another and loving others, or as a believer, you're going to be distracted and messed up by biting and devouring, gossiping, criticizing, consuming each other. He says, beware. Beware lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. One more verse, Galatians 5, 24. And those who are Christ, those who are Christians, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Church, listen, the answer simply is this. The answer is a life that is yielded and submitted to God regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God will use that life. I want to encourage all of you right now. I hope this is an encouragement anyway. As we start through this journey in chapter 14, you're going to be discovering what your gift or gifts are. If today you say, well, I'm a Christian, okay, great. Then, listen, next question. If you're a Christian, what gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit are operational in your life? In other words, how do others around you benefit from your Christian gift? Those questions must be answered. Do you see why today needs to be like a workshop? This is almost like an examination at the doctor's office. We need to find out if we are displaying those things that are true about a believer. And if today you're saying, gosh, Pastor, I really, really, really want to know. I don't know. Then there's great excitement for you. There's great joy ahead for you. Check this out. The most fun about what we're going to be learning, if someone sits here today and says, well, I believe in God, and I guess because I'm a really good leader at my company, and so I must have the gift of helps. That must be me. I must have that gift. Or if today you say, well, I'm the national winner of the sale from the sales department of our company. I can sell snow to an Eskimo. I must have the gift of evangelism. Or if you say, well, you know what? I'm a school teacher, so I know a pastor teacher's a gift. Then I must be a pastor because I'm a school teacher. Guess what? None of those things apply to what I'm talking about today. Did you know that? If somebody says to you, man, you sure can talk a lot, you should be a pastor. Or, man, you know what? You're sure helpful. You should be a missionary. The great thing about what we're talking about, you guys, has nothing to do with our human talents and giftings. We have talents. Can you play the piano? You must have the gift of the Holy Spirit to play the piano. No such gift. You have a human talent. You can sell snow to an Eskimo. You're a great salesman. You do not have the Holy Spirit doing that through you. It doesn't work that way. In fact, in most cases, the person today who is saying, wow, I'm excited to find out what my gift is, but I can tell you right now, it won't be this, that, or the other thing because I have no inclination to do that. Oh boy, you better put your seatbelt on. Because God will begin to stir up your heart. God, listen, he will stir up your heart. He will deposit an interest in your mind for that gift or gifts. It will begin to burn on your heart. And people, if people were to hear about it, if you were to say, I think the Lord might be calling me to be an evangelist, you'll know. People around you will say, you? Grow up. It will be something God deposits in your life that brings total glory and honor to God and not you. I get really nervous, man, when you see really talented people in the pulpit. That's scary. So that should encourage you today that God wants to do something with you that you yourself would not pick or design. And with that, God will get all the glory in your life. Are you willing? Don't answer. Are you willing to be submitted to the will of God in this area? If you are, your life spiritually is just about ready to begin. I don't care how young or old you are, it's going to be very exciting. Point number one, verses 1-2, it is this. Bodybuilding in the church of God begins with this. Strengthening your personal faith. Strengthening your personal faith. It says right here, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. That's a good thing, church. Don't frown upon that. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. First things first, verses 1 and 2, we learn this about our bodybuilding within the church begins with our own first private personal faith in God. Absolutely essential. By way of understanding this verse the most, in your margins, in your note-taking, write down next to verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul told Timothy, exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. All those people sweating over there at LA Fitness, they're doing a good thing. It just won't last long. That's why I don't do it. Why do it? It's not going to last long. But godliness is profitable for all things. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. What's he saying? Number one thing regarding personal developments, nobody can grow for you in faith. That's got to be something that you diligently apply in your life. And when he says exercise yourself towards godliness in 1 Timothy 4, 7, the word in Greek is gymnazo. Does that ring a bell? Gymnazo? That's where we get the word gym. We shortened it, gym. Gymnazo. Gymnazo means, I mean, technically in the Greek language in the New Testament, I got to tell you what it really means. The word is lifted. Paul lifted it from the Olympic Games. Gymnazo means to be stripped completely naked and then enter into the event. Can you imagine showing up to the Olympics just naked? The reason why they did it back in the Olympic days 2,000 years ago, it depended upon their event. When he says naked, for example, those that wrestled, very much like a sumo wrestler today. You've seen a sumo wrestler? They wear that kind of thing. I don't know what it's called in sumo wrestling, but I'll call it your jock strap. A gourd. You know what a gourd is? It covers a certain part of your body, and that's it. Everything else is just a string. Why? Because when the Olympic wrestlers went in to wrestle, they went absolutely naked with their gourd on because they didn't want anything to be used against them to defeat them in their competition. Paul the Apostle used the very word. He could have used a different word. He used gymnazo to say, every Christian and Timothy, you also be ready. Strip down from everything that will distract, everything that could lead to defeat, Everything the Holy Spirit's been warning you about in your spiritual growth to get rid of, push it aside, and you come naked, stripped of all the things of this world, all the things that distract you and pull you down. You show up to this great competition of faith, having nothing but the things needed. And that is having a heart ablaze for God. That's what he's saying to do. That's a great, great word for us today. And so he says, exercise yourselves. In Philippians 2:12, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, circle those two words, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This word in Greek means this. It doesn't mean you're saved by being good. It doesn't mean you're saved by doing good works. This word means that you, being saved, work out. The word means make sure you finish the course that's set before you. The word means complete the path, the race, to press on across through to the finish line regarding your salvation. It backs up what I said earlier. God does not tolerate spectator Christianity. There's no such thing. So, church, mark this down. Strengthening your personal faith begins this way. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Verse 1, that means strengthening your focus, to be eagle-eyed on this topic. Two things. Number one, pursue love. Pursue love. That's all of chapter 13 we've been listening and learning from. He says, now, all right, here we go. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire these spiritual things. What's he saying? That we have a new life as Christians, created in Christ. We've got a whole new world. We're born again. We live for a new reason. We've got new purpose, new vision, new passions, and new desires. And he says this amazing word, pursue love. I'm going to ask you to mark this word down. Pursue love, church, is a word, dioko, in Greek, and it means this. You can jot it down. We'll put it on the screen. To press into the mold. I'm going to give you a verse in a moment to back it up, but watch this. To press into the mold, to push into the wax, or to take the shape of the mold. That's what that word means, to pursue. Take the shape of love, be embossed, stamped, be poured into this thing of love. Meaning every gift of the Holy Spirit used in your life, if it's not used in love, then you're out of order. You've got to take on the mold, the shape of love, God's love. Now look at this verse. It's a cool verse. Colossians 3, verse 1. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, being a Christian, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, listen to those strong words, seek those things, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, ooh, look at that word, look at that, you're dead. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Who died? What does it say there? Who died? You died.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the first five verses, where Paul writes of how certain spiritual gifts are used to build up the body of Christ. Bodybuilding in the Church of God, that's the title of today's lesson. In fact, it's a mini-series, Bodybuilding in the Church of God. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we realize that it's not always possible for you to hear every single broadcast of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs when it airs. That's why we've made subscribing to podcasts of Real Radio real easy. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on the button on the right that says simply podcasting. Again, that's realradioactive.org. And then click on podcasting. It's real easy. Subscribe and you'll never miss an edition of Real Radio. Listen to each broadcast at the time that's best for you. That's at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. And Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.